on, Tim. I'm going to try this mic. If it's not, Tim's going to tell me to use the other one. Right, good morning, everybody, and hope you're well. We know lots of people are having the last of September before they have to go back to school or whatever, and everybody's ready. Who's going back to school or an education establishment this week? Anybody? Yeah, a few people, yeah. And I, you know, it's almost 3 years since I left school and I'm still on the academic. I still have an academic diary. Have to start the year in September. And you feel as though it is a sort of new beginning, don't you? Well, just before we start, we're back in the book of Mark, as you might have gathered from Sam's reading. And I'm sorry, I haven't got it up. I meant to put it on a PowerPoint, Mark 8. I don't know if it's a bit late for that, Johnny, is it? But he's already on it, I can see him, but maybe it will come up. It's Mark 8 from verse 11, if you've got your Bibles with you. But just before then, just a notice that Stuart didn't know about and somebody else forgot, you know, because we don't like to name people Mark, but anyway. Jan asked Mark to just say that tomorrow she hasn't got anybody to help at Peep with just making brews. Is there anybody who could help? I'm just going to put you on the spot. Excellent. Well done, Jan. And is there anyone else who could help Jan? Because it's really nice if she doesn't have to do it on her own. And I will try and be around as well, but thank you so much. You know, one of the things about the, we keep calling it newcomer's lunch. We're not getting lunch. So if we say lunch, that's not true. Gathering, Stuart said, that was a good thing. And some of you who've been here probably about 5 years are going, what? A newcomer's gathering? When did I have that? So if you've been here 5 years, you might think, well, I'm going to the newcomers one because I've never been greeted as a newcomer. Well, we forgot about it a bit, really. We used to do it, and we used to just go upstairs and have some cake and talk about, you know, the history of the church, how we got here, how the building arrived, the leadership, the pastoral, and, you know, where you can fit in if you're new. That sort of thing. And then, I don't know why we forgot it, because it was such a good thing. But if you feel as though you've been here for ages and you're still not sure, then you're welcome as well, because there's only cake, there's not lunch, if we say it. Okay, we're in Mark, and we haven't got a really funny story to start with, because the whole of this story is quite funny. Or I think it's funny. But it's about the disciples when they didn't get it. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where everyone gets it and you don't. I can remember being at university and we used to be up all night. And, you know, playing those games like, you know, my name is Linda and I'm going to the moon. And you don't understand it, and it's like, well, they've got your arms crossed and your little brain's working everything out. Well, I never got them. I had to be told. It reminded me of a little story that some of you will know. And when we were students, we were at a church and in Chester, and there's an estate in Chester called Blaken, and every year we used to do a mission on Blaken Estate. We used to do children's work in the morning. We'd go knocking doors, talking to people. And in the afternoons, we'd do a children's meeting and we'd do adult things. It was full on. But we were students, we were young, it was great. And this one year, they invited a special evangelist to come called Duncan. And Duncan came and he was, you know, he was stuff full of fire and whatever. Anyway, something had happened which had obviously upset Duncan. Not our Duncan, because he would never be upset, so that wouldn't be him. Duncan was very upset and he lost it. And, you know, he had a little tantrum. And so some of the students were a bit like, So Mark wasn't there at the time and he came in later. And a friend of ours called John went, oh, you never guess what? You know, this kicked off and Duncan lost his rag. So Mark went, oh, right. So, of course, Mark, I don't know if it's because he was from London or whether he's just thick or some things have bypassed him, but he didn't get it. He didn't get it. And so when he saw Duncan, he went, Duncan, did you find your rag? And Duncan went, what? He went, I hear you lost your rag. So that was a time, poor Mark didn't quite get it. And this story is all about the poor disciples when they didn't get it. So I just want to set the scene. It's all about sailing and boats today. So Jesus had just fed 4,000 people. Last time I spoke, it was about feeding 5,000 people. I don't want you to think every time I speak. And I did think about baking bread and bringing you all bread to eat while I spoke. Well, it didn't do that anyway. Mark's the bread maker, and he was out all day yesterday. So Jesus has just fed 4,000 people. That is the setting. They get in a boat, and they sail to the other side. And he gets out, and of course, there are Pharisees there, and they're having a go at him, and they're asking, and they said to him, can you show us a sign that what you do is from heaven? And I was thinking about that. Can you show us a sign that the signs are from heaven? At what point do you have signs that show you about signs? And I thought, well, you have fire alarm practices, don't you, when you say, this is an announcement, this is a sign to say, when you hear the sign, ignore it. It's not really happening. And the other day, I was driving down the coast road, and I saw a van, and it said on it, signs. And I thought, oh, what's that about? And it was a sign lorry delivering signs about the air show. So I thought, oh, that's a sign about a sign. But they're very unusual, aren't they? And the Pharisees, we know what they were doing. They were trying to trip Jesus up in some way. You know, prove that you're from God. Well, isn't the fact that I've just fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves? Yeah, not that one. What about healing a man with a withered hand? No, not that one either. Okay. It wasn't enough. They kept going. Stuart talked to us not so long ago about the Pharisees, didn't you? He's saying that they weren't necessarily bad people. We always think hypocrites. But they weren't all like that. Some of them were holy men trying to get it right, but they were more interested about the letter of the law, getting everything looking right. And sometimes we're a bit like that, aren't we? We want people to look like us and act like us because we get it. And when they're a bit different, we're not so happy. So they'd had a go at Jesus, and Jesus said, come on, let's get back in the boat and go the other way. So they got back. So they'd fed the 4,000. They'd gone in the boat. He'd met the Pharisees. They'd gone back in the boat. And then in the boat, Jesus probably mulling it over and says, you know, you want to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod or the Herodians, which was another group. Pharisees and Herodians weren't friends. One was a political party, one was a religious party, but they came together. Herodians are only mentioned, I think, 3 times in the New Testament, and it's always to link with the Pharisees so they can trip Jesus up. Like, go and follow him, see what he's doing, come and report back, tell us what he said. So they weren't particularly friends, but that's who Jesus was talking about. So he says, You know what? You want to watch the yeast of the Pharisees and the Herodians or Herod. So the disciples go, where does that come from? What's he talking about? We're in the boat, we're sailing. Where did that just come from? You know, my mum was a bit like that. You know, sometimes you'd be talking about something and then she'd go blue. And you'd say, what? I think the bathroom, blue. You know, I'm thinking of doing the bathroom, blue. And you'd go, yeah, right. Where did that come from? And I think they're in the boat. And it's a bit like this. This is where it gets slightly funny that, you know, Jesus has said, you want to be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and Herodians. Hey, where did that come from? Yeast? Bread? Is he talking about bread? So another disciple goes, oh, yeah, he's talking about the bread. I'll tell you what he's talking about as well. You've only brought one loaf, haven't you? You've only got one loaf in here. How is that going to feed all of us? Whose fault was it we've only got one loaf? Jesus knows what they're talking about. And he went, who's talking about bread? And they're like, we thought you were talking about bread. And he's like, how long am I with you? You know, do you not get it? Do you not get it yet? I'm not talking about bread. And also, you know, they've just watched 4,000 people fed. Why would you worry about one loaf? If 5,000 people can be fed with five loaves, one loaf could feed. But anyway, they're not thinking about that. They're just, you know, we've got one loaf. That's obviously not enough to feed us all. Jesus has just been talking about yeast. What's that about? So Jesus says, well, we're not talking about bread here, but right, just suppose we are talking about bread. If you want to talk about bread, we can do bread. Do you remember when I fed 5,000 or when we fed 5,000, because he didn't do it on his own, he always wants us to be with him. When we fed 5,000, how many loaves did we have? Any answers? Five? So, yeah, okay. When I fed, and how many baskets did you pick up? 12 baskets were left over. Good. So, when we fed 4,000, how many loaves did you have? Seven. How many baskets did you pick up? Seven. Leftovers, brilliant. Here's the maths. When we had less, five loaves, we fed more people. And we had more left over. So think, what have you seen? What have you heard? The maths of heaven doesn't compute, does it? So they've seen that, they've heard that, and they're still going, well, we've only got one loaf in the boat. What are we going to do about that? If you're with Jesus, you wouldn't really worry about your butties, would you? You know, Mark went to the cricket yesterday. He took enough food, probably to feed a small family for a week. And he brought quite a lot of it home because apparently all the others do the same. But you didn't obviously get yours out quick enough, did you? Because you ate everyone else's. But now, you wouldn't worry if Jesus was in the boat with you, would you, and what you were going to eat. You'd maybe go, oh, what's going to happen next, hopefully. So Jesus said, you know, all this about the bread that you've seen, that you've heard, stop worrying about your stomachs and think about something else. Get your head to where my head is and start being with me. And really, you know, we're still in Mark, and we're only up to chapter 8, but the pressure's stepping up now for the disciples. They're not just seeing the miracles and going, wow, this is a prophet. We're going to hear in a week or so that you know, the bit where Jesus says, who are people saying I am? Where they've got to know that he's God. They've got to know what's coming their way and what's coming his way. He's got to tell them a little bit more. So they still hadn't got it. And what did he mean about the yeast of the Pharisees? Well, we know how much yeast you need for bread, or maybe you don't, but you need 1 teaspoon for a pound of flour. I read it to check. Not making bread, but Mark makes lovely bread, so we leave it to him in our house. But you don't need much yeast. So what is it that the Pharisees could have been passing on to people that they wouldn't need much? Well, some of it is culture, isn't it? It's the culture of they had power and they wanted everybody to do what they wanted them to do. They wanted to pass laws that were, and they had no authority to do that, but they wanted to enforce, and they did have an influence on people. And I don't want you to think that all the Pharisees were bad, because if we read about in John, we read about Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night. He was a Pharisee. And Jesus, that conversation is really significant, because he doesn't speak to Nicodemus as he speaks on the Sermon on the Mount or anywhere else. He speaks to him as a leader. And he says, you Pharisees, you are the ones who are teaching Israel. It's your influence that is going to teach them. So you be careful and you come to me and say, you know, how am I saved? What's happening? And Nicodemus says to Jesus, we know you are from God, because nobody could do the miracles that you do unless he was. So the Pharisees were seeing him, and we know a little bit more about Nicodemus, don't we, that he was one who took Jesus' body with Joseph of Arimathea at the end from the cross. So he was a good egg, wasn't he, at the end, Nicodemus, and he was a Pharisee. It says that in John later on that some of the leaders believed in Jesus. They wanted to follow him, but they were so afraid of the Pharisees, of their influence. They were frightened of being put out of the synagogue. So they did have lots of influence. But Jesus said even a yeast bit of what they're putting out can influence what there is. And I just wanted to have a look at that. And I know if you've got your Bibles with you, you'll just see around verse 17. Jesus says, do you not still see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? And for me, that passage was all about that the Pharisees were seeing. Some of them were good men. Well, why wouldn't they accept? And I just think that verse where Jesus says, are your hearts hardened? Because we can harden our hearts, can't we? We can harden our hearts two things. We can also decide to soften them. And I just want to have a look, really, just in our last few minutes, about hearts and just seeing that, well, our hearts must have been soft if we ever came to Jesus in the first place. They would have been soft then, because you have to accept that there's somebody outside of you who has more authority that you're going to bow to. You're going to have to say, I can't do this life on my own, and give it over to him. And that's what becoming a Christian is, isn't it? It's saying, yeah, I've done things wrong. I want a clean slate. I want to start again. I want to move from here to here and do life with you. and it's a start again. When I became a Christian, I was 17, and I knew very little of God or anything really, religious terms. And I had, looking back, I had a lot of confused ideas, which who knows where I got them from. But I'd not gone to church, I'd not been brought up as a Christian. But age 17, and that's pretty young, I knew that my life wasn't going the way I wanted it to. I was, don't get me wrong, I had a good life. I was a very early developer, so I was going off to clubs in Liverpool at quite an early age, and I actually loved it. I loved dancing. Anyone who's been to a party with me knows that I can dance all night. And I loved the enthusiasm of everybody on the dance floor, and in those days, I don't know if they do it now, because I don't actually go, but I know that may surprise you, but they used to put talcum powder on the dance floors. Do they still do that? Is there anybody? Oh, you're all going. Is there anyone who, come on, Lauren, you must know, no, oh. Well, anyway, in those days, they used to put talcum powder on the dance floor so you could move faster. And that's why I'll always, I am enthusiastic. You know, I only need a bit of music and I'm off. But that wasn't enough. There was something always missing in my life, and there was something that I always felt was echoing. And this is echoing. What can I do about this? Should I take it off? Is it all right? It's not getting on your nerves, okay. But the enthusiasm, the fun, the laughter, you know, when brass tacks came, which was when my dad was diagnosed with cancer and, you know, was given 3 months to live, that was the point in my life where I thought, What's happening? I need something outside me because I can't do it. I can't do this. In those days, if you had cancer, they told your family and not you. I don't know if some of you will remember that. So the other stress for me was that my mum decided that my dad wasn't going to know that he was going to die. So we weren't allowed to talk about it at home. So to not have anybody to talk to, you'll realize that that was, you know, that was difficult. And that's how I ended up going to church and finding Jesus. And people go, oh, how did you find Jesus? Did you lose him? No, I didn't lose him. But I never knew him. I met him. And my life has never been the same. And that's why, to this day, I, you know, my number one passion is that I will pass that on. I will pass that on, how he loves us, how, you know, he calls us son, he calls us daughter, because he loves us so much. And there is nothing he wouldn't do for us. There is nothing he wouldn't do. If you haven't made that commitment to Jesus, if you haven't given your life over to him, it's a safe place. It is a safe place. And we're friends here, so you can come and talk to me after the meeting. If you have a friend, talk to them and make that step. You know, it's a simple prayer to say, come into my life, Lord. I give everything over to you. Because if you do that, then he is in charge. But it's the best thing you'll ever do. It's the best thing I ever did. But then, it is a life lived for him. It's a soft heart that responds to that call of Jesus. It's a soft heart. And that might have been when you were little. It might have been when you were older. You might not have done that yet. This might be your day. And that would be wonderful to share that with you. But we need to keep our hearts soft. And I just want us to think a few minutes. If our hearts are soft and we know Jesus, we've been a Christian for some time, we've read our Bible, we've been in prayer meetings, we've listened to sermons, our hearts are soft. What are you hearing? You know, Jesus said in this passage, have you not heard? Have you not seen? What's he doing in your life? So what was the last thing he told you to do? Oh, I don't know. I've not heard him. You know, I've been there. I've been in the busyness when I've had 3 children and a full-time job and another job when you get home at night and da-da-da-da-da, where you're so busy, you don't know if you're coming and you go, have you had a quiet time? Oh, I've no idea. I can't remember. I can't barely remember my name. And your children are saying to you, come on, Mum, come on. And you're going, where are we going? Football practice. Oh, yeah, it's that day. And off you're going. And, you know, I've sat outside, I don't think, you don't write your own register now, but in the years gone by where you had to write in all the children's names and addresses and dates of birth in the register, and then again in the dinner register, hallelujah. You know, I've sat outside my children having their music lessons, writing my registers, marking my books, while my number 3 child was jumping on the, thingy bins outside in the car park. I've done all that. So I know about busyness. But even in that is where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? That's where Jesus is still real. And he's still got to affect whatever you're doing and whoever you're with. But let's just look for a minute at, maybe you're thinking, actually, no, my heart isn't soft because you don't know what's going on in my life. And I don't. But what I do know is the things that I've been praying about that maybe have affected us. And I just want to say some of the things that might have affected your heart where maybe it's become a bit hard and maybe we need to just have a little rain check of that. Because in this new season, where September for me is always a new season, and this is a bit like, Happy New Year talk, isn't it? Let's get ourselves straight. Let's get our hearts sorted out before we hear Jesus' voice for our next step. But he is going to speak, but we're not going to hear if our heart's hard. It's just going to bounce off the walls. So let's make sure our hearts are soft. But the things that could have made us, the things that could have got in is, well, let's just have a fear. Is one thing, fear of what's happening. You know, they talk about the Holy Spirit or they want me to go to naturally supernatural. You know, what's that about? That just might be fear of the unknown. Fear of what people say. We police our own culture. Do you get what I mean by that? You know, girls, you'll know, I'll just send a quick text, see what everyone's wearing tonight, because I don't want to be the only one in a dress. We're all wearing jeans and a top? Okay. And we feel safe, don't we? We police our own culture. You know, young mums, can you imagine going to a toddler group and giving your child chocolate biscuits? No, not doing that anymore. You know, give them a carrot stick. Because everybody else does. We have to do healthy eating now. But we police our own culture. You know, even coming in on a Sunday, what we wear. Would you wear a suit to come? Probably not now because nobody else would wear one. But, you know, there was a time when if you didn't wear a suit, you would look out of place in church. But we can be fearful of, you know, if I do this, what will they think of me? And I completely get that. You know, that wound me up with friends. If I start talking too much about Jesus in my book group, they won't like me. They probably won't tell me where they're meeting. They might leave me out. They won't want to be my friends, and I really like them. things like this go through my head, and maybe I am the only one, but, you know, we do want to be free from fear. But that can make our hard heart as well. Cynicism. The disciples had seen and heard, yet they were still looking around for more. What have you seen? What have you heard? You know, when we give these words out, we're stepping out. You know, and Colin, I was cringing when you were mentioning names. You know, it was like, please don't say it was me who gave that word. That's what I was really thinking. We don't want to be weird, but sometimes we have to step out and be brave. You know, have you prayed for somebody to be healed? Have you prayed that, you know, they will be better? You know, people who are around us. Oh, I haven't prayed for ages. Well, the person you're sitting next to now, maybe later you can say, is there anything I can pray for you this morning? You know, we don't want a culture where, you know, the people at the front are the celebrities who are praying for people. We do have a prayer team and we honor them and we're thankful for them. But we want everybody to play. We want everybody to be involved in praying for healing, praying for whatever. Because that's what Jesus does for us. He says, he doesn't go, not you, not you, not you, her. He goes, no, you, 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 come on. And if you're the one who's gone away, he goes, they're all right altogether. Those 99, they can look after themselves a bit. I'm coming for you. And there is nowhere and there's nothing he won't do to get you, to make you sit up and go, look at me, look at my face. I love you and I want you. And that's always where he is. So let's not be cynical about what we see. Or what we hear. Let's be soft-hearted and go, you know what, maybe they got it wrong, but so what? I've had words said to me, you know, when Emily was a baby, we went and we were at this conference and a lady said, your daughter's got a birthmark on her face. Like, yeah, well done, yeah. And she said, and you're really worried about it. So I said, no, I'm not actually. I think she's lovely. And she went, no, you are. You're really worried and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm thinking, and I'm going to punch you in a minute. And I didn't because she was taller than me. But do you know what I mean? If that was true, I would have gone, oh, yeah, you know. But it wasn't true. It wasn't ever true. And so, you know, okay, some weird woman has come up to me and made me quite cross for the rest of that day. But my heart could have gone a little bit hard now. So don't bring me another word because I don't want another word like that. Or it could say, you know what, yeah, I was a little bit brittle then because she was pointing out something that was very obvious, but I just told her it was okay, go away, and she'd kept coming at me. And it did make me a bit cross, but then what I need to do then is to forgive and to say, you know what, she had a go. She had a go. She had it wrong. She should have backed off then. And there are ways to do it. And what she should have done is not said nothing. She should have said, I'm just wondering, have you got a problem? You know, I've noticed your baby's got a birthmark. Is there a problem that you have that I could pray for you? And I might go, no, I haven't actually, but please do pray for me. That would be great. There are ways of saying things which make us normal, and there are ways which make us weird. Do not be weird with the people of Hesketh Bank and Tarleton. Be normal. So cynicism can make our hard heart. Sin and guilt. Jesus never condemns us. If you're doing something wrong, if you've got something in your life that's a habit that you know you need to break, that's fine. We're all human. You know, we're not daft. We know what goes on. So get someone to pray with you. When you're struggling with that, you phone them up and you go, I need some prayer. I need some help. We're not here to judge people. We are not here to condemn people. We are here to champion people and to move them on and go, well done for getting that out in the light. Well done that you want to move on. And well done that you've spoken to someone and we're going to do it together. So do you know what it is? Whatever is going on in your life, if there is some sin and guilt, then, you know, that's not from Jesus. The Holy Spirit does tell us, come on, you know, you were gossiping then. I'm just using that as a very, polite bit because it's being recorded. I don't want to mention anything else that might be going on in our lives. But, you know, let's take gossip because that is, you know, such a body. I noticed when she was speaking to you, were you offended by that? Because she can be a bit brusque, can't she? Yeah, she is. And do you know what? I'll tell you what else I've noticed about her. And before you know, you're down that rabbit hole. And it's called gossip. And it's dark. And we don't want it here. Because we want a culture where we speak well of each other. And we champion each other. And we'll get it wrong. And when we get it wrong, we're not going to go, well, I'm not going to ask them to do it again, because did you see that? You know, when Jan makes the tea tomorrow and she might know where everything is, are we going to go, well, Jan, you're not that quick, are you? Didn't you know where the milk was? We're going to go, thank you for coming. When nobody else came, you did. So we don't care how long it takes you to make the tea. We just love that you're here. So we're going to champion each other. So it might be fear, it might be cynicism, it might be guilt, it might be unforgiveness and bitterness. And you know, when I've got unforgiveness in my heart, when I know I need to forgive someone, I hate people saying the unforgiveness word, and you need to forgive. I hate it because I know, and you will know now, if there's somebody that you need to forgive, maybe there's somebody long in the past. You know, I don't want any of us to ever not be able to sit by each other because of who it might be. You know, I think we have a privilege, you know, of leading this church, and it's helped me to behave better actually in the community. Because if I ever feel, you know, that somebody has just splashed me with their water as they've come along the road, or when they park their car, as they did this week on Hesketh Lane, and I have a double buggy, and they park their car on the side, and I understand they're trying to make the road wider, but I need to get past, and there's a bus coming here, and there's buggies on the other side of the road, so I have nowhere to go, and I'm like, if they come out of their house now, I will tell them. And then I think, what if they come to church on Sunday and I'm speaking and they sit there? Okay. So it helps me to behave better. But maybe you haven't got that. So you might lose it with them. And there is a story of Jeff Lucas, who is a Spring Harvest speaker. And he was driving around the road one day with his daughter in the car. And somebody came and cut them up. Not only cut them up, but actually went into their car. And so he said he got out and he was so mad because it was his daughter's side and he was going to give them a piece. So he ran round to the car, just hit them. The guy winds the window down and Jeff is just going to give him a piece of his mind. And he goes, aren't you Jeff, who's a Spring Harvest speaker? And he goes, yes. So sometimes, you know, we need, don't we, to forgive. And it can be the simplest little thing, like putting too much milk in my tea. Sorry, Mark. It can be, you know, this is a biggie. It's disappointment. And, you know, we've prayed for people to be healed. They don't get healed. You know, we didn't get the job. We didn't get the university place. We thought, you know, marriage has not gone the way I thought. My children have not gone the way I thought. You know, there's many things where we have disappointment and we say to God, you know, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you stop them? Why didn't you help them? Why didn't you do this? We have to take that to the Father. We have to take it because he's there and he understands, and whatever's inside, he knows. So whatever is causing our heart to be hard, we're just going to have a little time to reflect. We've just got a few minutes, and I'm just going to ask Mark to come and just while we do that. So we're going to pray, but we're going to ask God just to reveal anything that's going to make our hard heart. You know, it's not a new year, it's September. So some of us will be thinking, oh, we're well on in the year. But this year, the word for me was fruitful. A hard heart will stop us being fruitful. So I want to make sure our hearts are soft so that when God speaks, he's going to find soft soil. We're going to get it. So how can we keep our hearts soft? Well, I just want to go through four things. So number one, if you know you've got a hardness in your heart, you need to repent. You need to say sorry. Get it out of the way. It's not a big deal. Just get on. Say sorry. If you need to apologize to someone, be the first to do it. Just go and say sorry. They have to forgive you. That's the good thing. Number two, remember what God's done. Not just Jesus on the cross. Remember what good things has he done for you in your life. Can you remember? You know, Jesus says, you know, you want to talk about bread? Do you remember this? You want to talk about money? Do you remember when he provided money? You know, you want to talk about illness? Do you remember when you went to him with that? You want to talk about a job? Do you remember when you prayed for that? Remember. Write it down, whatever. And start to be thankful. Start to give him thanks and praise. And number three, decide to make a new start. Realign your life and your lifestyle with Jesus. It's all spiritual, whether you're at work, wherever. And our purpose, number four, is recognize our purpose. It's to work alongside God. Jesus didn't feed the multitudes on his own. He did it with the disciples. So we're just going to give a few minutes to reflect on that, and then I'm going to pray. So let's pray. It'll be silent and it'll be a few minutes, but we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to work on our hearts. And then at the end of this, if you'd like prayer, there's people around you and we'll be at the front as well. So please come. Don't waste the opportunity. This is a fresh start. Let's pray.